This is Our Living Lands, and I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Buffalo are a key species for the environment and indigenous communities. Our Living Lands producer, Daniel Spalding, spoke with Don Sherman, the executive director of the Tonka Fund and a member of the Lakota, Shawnee, and Delaware tribes about the importance of returning buffalo to indigenous land.
The return of buffalo to ancestral lands is a powerful moment for many indigenous nations. Can you talk about the work that Tonka Fund does, and what does buffalo mean to the Tonka Fund and how their return impacts cultural revitalization efforts?
Our mission at Tonka Fund is to return buffalo to the lands, lives, and economies of Indigenous peoples. So Tonka Fund was born out of Kyle, South Dakota, which is on the Pine Ridge Reservation. And because the buffalo was part of who we are, it's our ancestor, it's our relative, we saw the need for our ranchers that they just didn't have access. You know, we're in a huge 2.9 million square acres, and there's cattle all around us. Like, we're in a protein factory, but there's no buffalo. You know, none of our relatives are, you know, there are very few of our relatives on that land. So we saw that, and they didn't have access to get that buffalo into the market too, right? If they wanted to feed their people, it leaves the reservation and it may never come back, that meat, right? So we saw that our ranchers did need support, and that buffalo deserved to be on this land because they are the keystone species. And by returning the buffalo, you revitalize the culture, right? So bringing that back brings all of that connection back that we had with the buffalo, and that's our role there. We're stewards to the buffalo who are the voiceless and giving them the voice, and we're stewards to those ranchers to try to assist them bringing those buffalo back to the lands and to the different cultures, because we represent probably 10 tribes right now in Tonka Fund, and we'll be adding more all the time throughout the year.
What are some of the biggest challenges faced in, you know, making these buffalo restoration efforts a reality? And also, what are some of the biggest successes that you've seen this far?
So it's the access to land, the access to the capital, and then the opportunities that we're not given to us, that were given to the rest of the country while we were sitting without those opportunities. And then the great things, I would say, watching those buffalo run on the land for the first time in 200 years. One of our ranchers, she's up in Cheyenne River, got buffalo this year, and she got some yearlings, and it was the first time they've touched her family's land in 200 years that buffalo's ever touched that grass. So to see that, it still gives me goosebumps. We've been in this for 12 years, and I have been, and just to watch those buffalo and to see the smile on our people's faces, and to know that that's where they belong, that's where our relatives belong, is on this land.
That's awesome. And that kind of leads into my next question that I had is, you know, buffalo play a crucial role in maintaining healthy ecosystems. And how does their introduction contribute to land restoration and biodiversity in, you know, the regions that they're being released in?
They were built for this land. And we've all heard their hooves aerate the land. It helps penetrate the soil to help aerate it. But also it gets them down into that seed bank, which most people don't understand, within, you know, the grass prairies and stuff. And, you know, 6 to 8 feet down, there's a seed bank of historical seed. And as they're walking, right, it's distributing and it feeds the birds. You know, they have a symbiotic nature to many animals, such as the black-footed ferret and the magpie. And so without the buffalo, those animals pretty much almost went extinct. When the buffalo went away, the ferrets were, you know, and they're just now getting reintroduced again over these last many years. So it's really that symbiotic nature. They graze based on the seasons and their diets, so they don't overgraze and down to the root. The wallowing creates water holes for amphibians and bugs and other animals to come and eat. So as they're moving through the grasslands, you can actually see the changes that happen over many years of, you know, the return of natural prairies, natural grasses, and different types of animals.
And lastly, what does the future look like for buffalo restoration, and how has, you know, climate change impacted these efforts that the Tonka Fund does?
Buffalo are pretty resilient, just like our people. We're very resilient, so they are adjusting to these extreme changes as far as the cold, the floods, and, you know, the heat and things such as that. The main thing is just giving them enough space and healthy food and water. So I would say the future looks really bright. The collaborations between groups, DC, government, NGOs, nonprofits such as ourselves are all really collaborating to make sure that we keep these animals on the land, because we see how needed they are, because they're our relatives, right, and our ancestors, and they deserve the same opportunity we had.
Tune in next week for more stories about how climate change affects tribal communities. I'm Antonia Gonzalez for Our Living Lands, a collaboration of Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, Native Public Media, and the Mountain West News Bureau.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.